Chapter 2. Kira located the stash right where Lady Proxima had said it would be, at the sewer exit near the green. It was a nondescript pack made of waterproof leather. Inside was the outfit Proxima had promised. A sturdy, knee-length skirt over black leggings. A beautiful, bright red top that made Kira gasp with pleasure. And a beige flight jacket that would hit her waist perfectly. She lifted the clothes to her nose and sniffed. They had been sprayed with some kind of floral perfume to cover up the rotten smell of the sewers. It was going to be the nicest thing she'd ever worn. Maybe when this was all over, she'd get to keep it. Kira changed quickly, paused a moment to admire the color of the top, such a gorgeous, saturated red, then swung the gate open and stepped into the sunshine. Well, sunshine was overstating it. It was a typical gloomy Corellian day, full of clouds and haze. Decades of industry had given the sky a reddish-brown cast, and Kira sometimes felt as though the whole world was going to rust. But compared with the sewers at night, it felt brighter than a sun. The sewer itself drained into a small artificial creek running through a grassy park. It was one of the few areas of green space left in Coronet City, located on the outskirts of the capital, far from the scents of fish and exhaust steam and sewage. The green space existed only because the posh hotels surrounding it, which catered to imperial dignitaries and other influential business entities, felt it was important for their guests to have something beautiful to look at. More important, the surrounding thick foliage made it the perfect egress for white worms who needed to reach the edge of town without being seen. Today, though, Kira was supposed to be seen. It was the strangest thing, she mused, as she peeked around the bushes and waited for a good opportunity to blend into the crowd of pedestrians. Lady Proxima had never before asked her to be noticeable. I need someone attractive for this assignment, she'd said. Someone poised. You need to be seen entering and leaving the hotel. Kira found the idea strangely thrilling, not having to hide. And the message she was supposed to give? It was the oddest, most exhilarating thing. She couldn't wait for the words to come out of her mouth. The most amazing thing of all, though, was Lady Proxima's promise. If all went well, Kira would be promoted to the position of head. She could hardly believe her luck. It was an incredible opportunity, and her entire focus for the next few hours would be on making it happen. The foot traffic had thinned. Kira threw back her shoulders, raised her head high, and stepped from the trees onto the cobbled path, as though she had every right to be there. One person, a human with blonde hair, gave her an odd look, but no one else seemed to notice that she'd come from the direction of the creek. She strode forward with purpose, pretending to be oblivious to everyone else. She couldn't help observing, though, that while her bright red shirt was the nicest thing she'd ever owned, not that she owned it yet, she was still underdressed. Only Corellia's richest residents lived in this district. Kira followed the path toward her destination, the Buckhell Center, a massive hotel and business complex. It was one of the largest buildings on the planet, a sprawling edifice with multiple wings that hugged one of the city's few hills like a giant, shining spider. Supposedly, it was the only building on Corellia that rivaled the luxury and beauty of those on Coruscant. Or so Saulo had told them all. He'd been born on Coruscant, so he would know. Or maybe that had been a tall tale to impress everyone. The tree-lined path ended abruptly, and Kira found herself confronting the main thoroughfare. Land speeders whizzed by, many of them sleek and beautiful, and not at all like the ones she was used to seeing around town. A hollow board ahead flashed an advertisement for a home air filter, guaranteed to protect children from Corellian pollution. In the distance, the sky buzzed with ships taking off and landing at the spaceport. A well-lit pedestrian tunnel allowed her to cross the thoroughfare. She strode through it as though she belonged, and emerged at a wide colonnade leading to the Buckle Center. The sight gave her a start. Framing the entry were two massive turrets, each the size of a small freighter. They hummed and hissed, pivoting on their bases. Kira kept her head high, her stride purposeful as she walked between them. One turned toward her, and her breath hitched. Lights flashed, and the gun barrel crackled with electricity. After a moment, it turned away, choosing to evaluate another pedestrian. Kira kept going as if nothing had happened, but her mind was reeling. Defensive smart turrets at the Buckhell Center? What did it mean? Nothing good, that was for sure. She dodged a few luxury speeders that were dropping off guests, and she was almost to the entrance when darkness descended all around, like a blanket had been thrown over the sun. Several people gasped. Even the protocol droid at the valet booth looked up. Kira followed his gaze. An Imperial Star Destroyer had pulled in overhead and hovered in the sky. Su'ulo had told them that to hover safely, a Star Destroyer had to remain in the planet's mesosphere. Yet even at that distance, it was large enough to turn day into night. It was not the first destroyer she'd seen. They were becoming an all too common sight in the Corellian skies, as more and more of the planet's factories began to manufacture components specifically for Imperial projects. But it still made her shudder, because it seemed like an omen. Between that and the turrets, Kira was on high alert when she finally strode through the glass doors and entered the complex. Her stride faltered. Never had she seen such luxury. Golden highlights sparkled on every surface and framed every painting and mirror. The potted fruit trees could double their breakfast rations back in the lair. The couches scattered in groups around the lobby looked more comfortable than any bed she had ever slept in. Maybe she could acquire a couple of throw pillows on her way out. But that wasn't why she was here, and she forced herself to remember that she was supposed to be seen. The lobby milled with guests of every species, sentry droids, even a few stormtroopers, a few of whom glanced her way. So far, so good. She approached the wide concierge desk. A bored human woman with premature lines around her eyes forced a smile and said, "How may I help you?" "I'm here for a meeting," Kira said, chin held high. "Can you direct me to the Obsidian Room?" The concierge pointed. "Take the glass tram to the penthouse concourse," she directed. "It's at the very top of the hill, the tram's final stop. The Obsidian Room will be down the corridor, beyond the personal residences." That sounded easy enough. "Thank you," Kira said. Even though she had only a few minutes left to make the appointment on time, she spent a precious moment to take stock. Kira always had a backup plan. Always. It had saved her life more than once. So she noted a glass office behind the reception lobby. The desks might provide good cover, if she could get past the sentry droids. To her left was a security booth. Everyone milling around had decent armor and well-used blasters. But the uniforms were private sector, not Imperial. Still, she'd have to keep an eye out for them if anything went down. A hallway stretched right, leading to a ballroom, also guarded by sentry droids. Near the back, a sign promised another tram with direct access to the spaceport. Finally, she spotted what she was looking for. A nondescript door with an access panel, partly hidden by a potted plant. A gray-haired woman in a housekeeping uniform approached it and punched in a code. Kira angled herself to watch, memorizing the code. That was the door she'd use if she needed to make a quick exit. An employee-only corridor was her best chance at finding sewer access without going out the front door and facing those turrets. Knowledge always made her feel better. Buoyed, Kira turned toward the glass tram the concierge had indicated. Several beings were already inside. Two humans, a droid, and a short, hairy alien whose species she'd never encountered before. They all parted to make room, and she pushed the button indicating her destination as the penthouse concourse. The doors slid closed, and her feet were nearly jerked out from under her as the tram capsule zoomed along the concourse. Kira was supposed to be poised, serene, implacable, but she couldn't help turning to gawk at the sights like an off-world tourist. The tram skimmed along the outskirts of the Buckhell Center, gradually working its way up the hillside, thus offering an unmatched view of the city of Coronet, with its grimy markets and buzzing thoroughfares in the center, the churning factories and shipyards at the edges, And beyond it all, the massive spaceport with one of the highest traffic capacities in the galaxy. Kira felt as though she was flying, nothing between her and the Corellian sky but pure air and speed. The city blurred below her, with pollution, with distance, with gloom. But as the tram continued to climb the hill, everything crystallized. The man standing beside her gasped. They had ascended above the smog line, and the sky was the most glorious cerulean she had ever seen. The smog stretched below them, brownish-red and as thick as a blanket. But along the horizon were mountains, actual mountains, tinged green with life and blazing with morning sunshine. The planet of her birth was beautiful, more beautiful than she'd ever imagined. The tram made several stops, and passengers trickled in and out. Finally, it glided gently to a halt at the penthouse concourse, and Kira stepped out reluctantly, her eyes still feeling a little glazed. She blinked, took a deep breath, and continued on her way. The corridor she traveled had regular doorways on either side, just like the tunnel with their bunk cells. But this hallway felt so much longer, the ceiling so much higher, promising a large, comfortable, airy space behind each door, instead of another dark hole. Every detail, from the lights on the walls to the decorative room numbers, seemed to indicate an impossible excess of wealth. She was staring at the wall decorations, here in a hallway where anyone could just take them, when a janitor droid scooted past and startled her. She almost squealed, but then she smiled, delighted. She'd always wondered what janitor droids looked like before they were re-engineered to catch rats. It was still a boxy little thing, but sleeker, with cleaning brushes instead of pincers, moving efficiently down the corridor, cleaning up dirt too small for her to notice. When Kira looked up again, she had reached her destination. The Obsidian Room, a high-security luxury suite for Corellia's finest class of visitor. She raised her hand to the access panel, and the doorway slid open, keyed to her palm. How Lady Proxima had managed to key a distant hotel room to her palm print was too terrifying to contemplate. She straightened her shoulders and stepped inside. The living area of the penthouse suite had been cleared of furniture, and her footsteps echoed on marble tile. A vast window looked out on that incredible sky, and it was with some effort that Kira ignored it to size up her situation. Three others were already in attendance. A small human male with a pointed rat-like face and a furtive demeanor. A taller, middle-aged woman with hulking shoulders and a severe gray bun. And a silver protocol droid with a dented right arm. They all stared as she approached, and she realized, with a sinking heart, that she was the only one who was unarmed. Come to think of it, she'd never seen a protocol droid carrying weapons before. Strange.
"So nice of you to join us," said the rat-faced man to Kira. "What have you been up to?"
"I've been dusting crops. The easiest job in the galaxy," she replied smoothly.
The rat-faced man nodded.
"Then we shall get started right away. We'll begin with the representative of the White Worms. What is your bid, young miss?"
This was the moment she'd been waiting for. Kira raised her head high and said proudly,
"The White Worm bid is 450,000 credits.
She couldn't even imagine such a sum. So much money. But she kept her expression cool, as if it were just another day in her life. The tall woman chuckled. Even the droid gave Kira an odd look. The rat-faced man's hand shifted toward his blaster. And all of Kira's enthusiasm for this assignment came crashing down. Somehow, her message had been poorly received. She was not a person who was prone to mistakes. But maybe she had forgotten something? Said the wrong thing? The rat-faced man turned toward the tall woman.
"Your turn,"
she said. "The Caldona Syndicate bid is 675 million credits.
Kira had trouble keeping the shock from her face. She had no idea what they were bidding for, but whatever it was, Lady Proxima's bid had been so low as to be insulting.
"And you?"
the rat-faced man said, turning to the droid.
It is my honor and pleasure to inform you that the droid Gotra bids 1 billion credits.
The gray-haired woman's dismay was clearly visible. Her fingers twitched near the blaster at her hip.
Excellent, said the rat-faced man. One moment as I check with my superiors.
He pulled out a comlink and began speaking in a language Kira couldn't identify. While he spoke, she rehearsed what she'd heard in her head. The Kaldana Syndicate, the droid Gotra. Her bid had been too low, but at least she could return to Lady Proxima with information. Maybe the position of head was still within reach. The rat-faced man's eyes grew wide, and he argued back fiercely about something. His hand rested on his blaster. The woman and the droid looked as though they were ready for anything. At last, he stashed his comlink in a pocket.
I'm sorry it had to come to this, he said,
and he raised his blaster and pointed it at Kira.
Wait, wait! I can fix this!
Her hands came up in protest as her mind traveled 1,000 meters per second. She knew she couldn't outrun a blaster, so she had to stall, figure a way out of this room. The rat-faced man did not pull the trigger. He raised an eyebrow, waiting to see what she'd say next.
Just kill her, the woman said. She obviously didn't take this seriously. To me, that says she's a mole. Maybe Corsic.
It's clear our bid was insulting, Kira conceded. But I represent one of Corellia's biggest players. I'm sure I can put in a good word with the White Worms and get a revised bid. I came in good faith, unarmed, see? Would Corsic have come unarmed?
She hardly had any idea what she was saying. She just knew she had to say something, anything, until she could figure out a plan. There was no furniture in the room, nothing to hide behind except the droid, and then he might start shooting at her too. No way to get out the door without waiting for the palm scanner to operate. She was stuck in the worst way. The only other way out was that huge window. It was undoubtedly built to withstand extraordinary pressure and winds, even the occasional lightning strike. But maybe a direct hit from a blaster at full power would do the trick. A broken window would create chaos, maybe give her a chance to escape. She had to get someone to shoot at the glass. The rat-faced man said,
Are you authorized to offer a higher bid?
He raised an eyebrow.
That much higher?
Yes, of course,
Kira said without hesitation, which was a lie. She had no comlink, no resources, no real power. Still, despite everything, it was a rush to be taken seriously, as if she were an actual player, someone who could make things happen. Her head felt a little dizzy with it all.
One moment while I contact my superiors again, he said, and pulled out his comlink.
While the rat-faced man spoke over the comlink, the gray-haired woman glared at Kira, and the droid muttered,
Oh dear, this is not going the way I expected at all. Revised bids. It's all very untoward.
We should all get to revise our bids, the gray-haired woman said. It's only fair.
The rat-faced man looked up.
My superiors have decided not to accept any revised bids. They are very pleased with the offer presented by the droid Gotra.
No,
the gray-haired woman said.
You'd give it to droids over humans?
Kira logged that bit of information, too. The Kaldana Syndicate had also underbid, counting on the seller to show favoritism toward humans. The rat-faced man ignored her. To the protocol droid, he said,
You may now acquire the merchandise in the agreed-upon manner.
It was on the tip of Kira's tongue to inquire if this meant she wasn't going to get shot after all. But the gray-haired woman pulled out her own comlink and angrily informed someone that they had lost the bid. Kira began backing toward the door.
Everyone? The gray-haired woman said into the comlink. Fine. I understand.
And she drew her blaster.
Watch out! Kira cried. The droid is about to shoot!
The droid was about to do no such thing, but he was standing in front of the window. The gray-haired woman reacted with dizzying speed, firing her blaster and nicking his shiny silver shoulder. The majority of the blast crashed into the window glass, causing cracks to spiderweb out from the point of impact. Kira continued moving toward the doorway, while the glass crackled and popped, fissures spreading. Everyone was in motion now. The rat-faced man and the droid fired back at the woman. One of the blasts came so close to Kira's face that she felt heat against her cheek. She didn't know anything about blasters and fighting, but she'd heard somewhere that moving targets were harder to hit. So she abandoned all subtlety and somersaulted over her left shoulder, barreling toward the door. The window cracks gave, and icy air rushed in hard and fast, lifting her hair, causing her eyes to stream with tears. Kira palmed the door lock. Another blast whipped into the wall, missing her scalp by millimeters. The door slid open and she rushed outside, slamming her palm against the lock, even as another bolt chased her into the hallway and shattered a mirror hanging on the wall. The door slid closed. Kira grabbed a potted fern. It was so huge she strained to lift it. She slammed the planter base into the door panel, crushing it to pieces. Then she dropped the plant, it barely missed her foot, and fled down the corridor toward the tram. Taking the tram was a risk. She knew it even as she entered. The walls of the entire complex were probably alarmed with sensors. Security personnel already knew there had been a breach. A tram capsule coming from the penthouses would surely attract attention. They might even be waiting for her. But a complex this size had multiple trams and corridors. Security couldn't possibly cover them all, not even with all the security droids she'd seen. She'd get her best odds of survival by taking the fastest way back. Just in case, though, she punched the dining concourse as her destination, rather than the lobby. It wouldn't do to exit right in front of that security booth. She'd depend on the tram to get her most of the way, and figure it out from there. She was the only passenger this time, a small bit of luck. But her minor celebration was short-lived when the tram stopped at Concourse 3 to pick up another passenger, and again at Concourse 2, where a whole family of tentacle-faced Quarren stepped inside. Just as well. Maybe it would be easier to blend into a crowd. Finally, the elevator reached the dining court. She breathed relief when the door slid open and no one was there to greet her with blasters. Kira and the Quarren family stepped out. She strode forward with purpose, as though she knew exactly where she was going. But all the while, she was taking in tiny details, anything that might help. This area contained several restaurants, a designer jewelry shop, a high-end salon, and access to a massive indoor bathing pool. She headed toward one of the restaurants, for no other reason than it seemed the busiest. A dark, candle-lit place filled with stone columns and lush plants that promised authentic Alderaanian cuisine. Kira stopped just outside and pretended to peruse the posted menu, but her mind was whirring with possibilities. A grand staircase to her left curved downward. Maybe she could wait for a large group of people to descend and try to blend in with them. If only Lady Proxima had thought to give her a little money. The Buckhell Center boasted several taxi stands. It would have been the easiest thing in the world to hire a speeder cab. She could steal some money. Kira had stolen a few times for Lady Proxima. It wasn't so hard. And if she felt bad for the people she stole from, she didn't let it get to her. Anything was worth survival. Kira scanned the crowd for a likely mark. She preferred coins to credit chips, as the former were completely untraceable, but she knew her chances of finding any were low. With the Imperial presence so strong here, any currency besides Imperial credits was strongly discouraged. A siren wailed. Everyone in the Alderaanian restaurant paused what they were doing and glanced around, trying to figure out what was going on. Kira knew exactly what was going on, and her window of time for sneaking away clean was getting smaller and smaller. At some point, she might have to abandon strategic moves in favor of running for her life. A man in long robes strode past. A bulge at his waist indicated some sort of pouch tucked under his utility belt. Kira moved to follow. She stayed several steps behind as he plunged down the corridor. The robed man turned right into a long hallway and nearly collided with a group of guards, four of them running in formation, blasters held at the ready. Kira almost turned and fled, but they ran right past her. Which meant they weren't specifically looking for her, at least not yet. Kira continued to follow the robed man, hoping an opportunity would present itself soon. She just needed to get him alone. Her pickpocketing skills were serviceable, but she was no Jaglio. That white worm girl could shave a Wookiee bald without getting caught. The man slowed as he neared a hotel room door, pulling out a keycard. Kira began to reach for his pouch. A siren wailed again, louder. The man spun in alarm, noticing Kira for the first time. She quickly dropped her hand. The two stared at each other a moment.
"What a distressing sound," Kira said with a smile.
She took a few steps past him, as if she had been going that direction anyway, but she silently cursed her bad luck. The man stepped inside his room, and the door closed behind him. Kira had wasted precious minutes following him. Now she had to start over with another mark. More running footsteps. Kira faced a doorway and pretended to search for a keycard as another group of armed guards dashed by. She caught the tail end of a comlink conversation.
"A young human female," said a male voice. "Brown, chin-length hair, barely more than 1.5 meters tall. Wanted immediately for questioning."
Even after the guards passed and the sounds of their footsteps faded, Kira remained in the doorway, collecting herself. Her heart was racing, her breath coming too fast. She felt a storm front of panic approaching, like a darkness that clouded her thoughts. No, she was not a panicker. She would be calm. She would be poised. She would think. They were looking for her specifically now, which meant there was no time to find another mark, pick a pocket, and hire a speeder cab. She had to reach the lobby and find the access door she'd spotted earlier, the one that might lead to the sewers. And if she couldn't do it in stealth, then she would just have to run for it. Calmly, she continued down the hallway, looking for a lift or stairwell. She found something even better. Another off-limits door, just like the one she'd spotted earlier, with an access pad. Kira took a deep breath, unsure if she remembered the code she'd observed earlier. Praying to every god she'd ever heard of that she would remember correctly, and that the code would be the same here as in the lobby, she punched it in. Nothing happened. Kira was about to try again when the ambient music in the hallway went silent. She hadn't even realized it was playing until it was suddenly gone. Speakers crackled. A voice boomed overhead, undoubtedly broadcast complex-wide.
"This is Senior Manager Elias Gorlin, asking everyone to please stay calm. Due to a minor environmental breach in one of our penthouse units, the Buckel Center is under complete lockdown until further notice. In gratitude for your patience and understanding, all amenities, including spa services, restaurants, holovids, and fine shopping, will be offered at a 10% discount. We will let you know as soon as it is safe for anyone to enter or leave the center. Please enjoy the rest of your day."
Kira felt the edge of panic creeping back. The entire complex under lockdown because of a breach in one room? Not likely. A lockdown reeked of Imperial entanglement, which was so far above her pay grade, it made her head spin. When she'd escaped the Obsidian Room, everyone had been shooting at each other. She wouldn't be surprised to learn that they were all dead, trapped by the door she'd purposely jammed. What if someone inside was even more important than she realized? Or maybe it was the deal itself that had attracted Imperial attention. That droid had bid 1 billion credits. Whatever the cause, one thing was sure. There was no way she was getting past those defensive turrets out front. She either had to reach the sewer access or find a place in the complex to hunker down until they gave up searching for her. Kira stared down at the access panel. Maybe she had remembered the code incorrectly. She closed her eyes, trying to put herself back in the moment. The woman had been wearing a service uniform. The air had smelled like the vine lilies climbing up the massive center trellis, and it had been a little damp from the indoor waterfall. Kira had shifted to the left to get a better view. The woman's fingers had moved. That was it. Kira saw it clear as day. She had gotten one digit wrong. She punched in the correct code. The access lights turned blue and the door slid open, revealing a narrow, dim corridor, stripped of luxury and flowery scent. Kira nearly sobbed with relief. She ducked inside and pressed against the wall while the door slid shut behind her. Now all she had to do was find a service lift and a basement. Every major building in Coronad was accessible by sewer and maintenance tunnels. And as one of Lady Proxima's most trusted scrum rats, she had secret access to almost all of them. She'd have to watch for traps, sentries, and management droids, sure. Full lockdown meant that even a sewer entrance might be guarded. But she had a chance now. She was smart and resourceful, and she could do this. Kira moved forward at a jog, already rehearsing a story for why she was in the corridor, just in case she ran into someone.